sing it at funerals, but we need it in everything in this life. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm trying to find my my sermon. I got it in here somewhere. Let's see if we find. Oh, I found it. Amen. All right. Praise God. This morning, I preached on a sermon. How many were here this morning? Amen. Praise God. I preached a sermon for you called This Year Also. It was a parable from Luke 14. And basically, that was a warning by Jesus that what can happen to a person in the congregation this year that does not produce the fruit that God wants from those that are saved. And we warned saved people about a possible year of chastisement for not bearing fruit. Taking the Lord's table unworthily and not getting right with God, sickness. And even death, you know, where he talked about cutting the fig tree down, and the Lord said, "I'll give it this year, and I'll work on it." And we talked about just living on God's mercy and long suffering, rather than getting grace from God to conquer, to rise and conquer. And we talked about all of that, and about not being productive means you're going to miss the opportunities that God is giving you. Right now, I believe, by hearing the prayers of his people to judge the systems of evil over this country, so that we're going to have an open door for the gospel. And pushing back the beast and his timeline for the one world government. By the way, the beast is coming. The one world government's coming. If you believe in 2 Thessalonians 2, we said last week that he will come before Jesus Christ comes. And you will have to overcome him. I said you will have to overcome the beast and the Jewish Antichrist. But I believe God is judging the systems of evil over the U.S., all over the world right now. People are overthrowing these tyrannical beast-like governments and pushing back. And I believe God's heard our prayers, and we need to keep praying and take advantage of this open door to be productive for this year. So this morning, it was a warning that if you're not productive, there could be chastisement, there could be death, there could be things happen where you're just living on mercy and you're not productive, and encouraging you to be productive. Now tonight, I want to preach a message from 2 Peter, and maybe it'll be a series, I don't know, on 2 Peter. And it's how you can grow and not be low. How you can grow and not be low. That kind of reminds me of a kid. You know, they're trying to get taller. Zukowskis don't have this problem, but some people, they want to get taller, and they keep looking. And I remember my daughter used to say, my oldest daughter, she said, "I feel like I had a tall day today." Now, she never grew much, but she packs a wallop for her age. When my oldest daughter got married, I said to her husband-to-be, I said, "She's pretty, she's a great girl, she's got all kind of character." I said, "Just watch one thing, she does bite." But anyway, you know, how to grow, how you can grow and not be low. And please turn with me in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And I want to say tonight, this will be an expository message. And that is a message taken right out of a portion of Scripture and preaching what that portion of Scripture was written for, and then applying it to our lives. So 2 Peter chapter 1, how you can grow this year and not be low. And I'll explain that. But the first thing I want you to see is, first, by your being introduced to the Apostle Peter and the blessings he commends to you. And the Apostle Peter can be a blessing. So please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to grow and not be low in grace. I want to grow and not be low in the knowledge of Jesus Christ this year. I want higher ground. I don't want lower ground. And I believe by your being introduced here to the Apostle Peter and the blessings, the inspired blessings that he gives to you and talks to you about, that will help you to do that. And I want to, first of all, notice that when you're introduced to the Apostle Peter, you're introduced to him in two ways. Verse 1, he says about himself, I am Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. Now, there's two things about that. There's two twos here. And there may be more than two twos. Not two twos, but two twos. The first two is Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Now, one of the men tell me, I like to have the men help me out here. One of the men tell me, what's the significance of him introducing himself? And I know Brother Bruce, I'm not going to ask you, Bruce. I'm not going to mess with you. Don't worry. I'm coming up to you, but I'm not messing with you. But I know Bruce, he forgets names. He forgets names. Right, Bruce? Am I right or am I right? Yeah, he does. But I want to ask one of the men, what's the significance of Peter introducing himself as Simon? You say, why didn't he ask the ladies? Because God says that when you're teaching the Word of God, 1 Corinthians, that it's the men that are to speak in church. We're not in Sunday school, we're in church. So the men can help me preach. All right, Brother Kyle.
Even is that when he said Simon, that's the name.
Yes. Right on. You remember Simon, son of Jonas. That was his birth name. You know, we celebrate birthdays. It's Ann's birthday. Our former pastor just had his 75th birthday. Charles Ware's picture's right out there. Great man of God. But you know what? I believe the Lord has another name for you than whatever your name was. Now, my name is Randy. You know what Randy means? Watchdog. Watchdog. I guess that's a pretty good name for a pastor, right? I tell people I'm not here to be the dictator of the church. I'm just here to make sure and watch that nobody else does. And I'm a watchdog. I'm a watchdog. And, you know, God's bulldog, if you will. But God made me that. He gave me a name. But I think I got another name. A new name. That's what my mother's back there. Did you give me the name Randy? Yeah, you did. Rand Cooper. I was named after Rand Cooper. I know that. But anyway, my mother's here. She gave me the name Randy, Watchdog. But, and he bites too. He does. But I'm saying to you, Simon was the name of Peter given by his father John. And whenever you hear Simon, you're thinking of Peter's what? Old nature. You know what? You got an old nature if you're saved. And that old nature can make you backslide in one day. I have given into the old nature on a day and then gotten right back up and said, Lord, I sinned. I don't want to feed that old nature. I get right back on my feet. If I get knocked down, I don't want to stay down. I want to get up. The righteous man falls seven times, gets back up. Sometimes frogs come out of your mouth. And it comes from the old nature. And I can see it. And people can see it in me. And your old nature. And we have to acknowledge it. We're talking about growing. and not being low. And if we're going to grow and not be low, we have to acknowledge that we have an old nature. Peter is doing it here, I believe, by calling himself Simon Peter. He's letting you know, and God's word lets you know, how many times did Peter say what the other guys were thinking, and you knew it was from his old nature, and we just learned that. And he just is humbled by that. So, you know, we have an old nature, but Jesus, when he met him, you know, Simon was, what, up and down, right? Up and down. He was high and low and high and low. But Jesus gave him the name Peter, which means rock. Or stone. Now, he's not the stone of the Catholics. You know, their stone is not our stone. They think Peter was the first pope. And, you know, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter. He wasn't talking about the first pope. He was talking about Peter saying Jesus is the Son of God. He said flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The cornerstone is Jesus. Amen. By the way, none of you are the cornerstone of this church, and I'm not either. This is not my church. It's Christ's church. And I don't want any petty parties or anybody taking credit or anything and putting up. No, we're all part. It's all from the Lord. And we're building this thing. We're exalting Jesus Christ tonight. We take the Lord's table, we're exalting Jesus tonight. And so Peter, you know, that is his new name that the Lord gave him. And the Lord has a new name for you, and he has a purpose for you, and he wants you to find out that purpose. It's called the hope of his calling. You ever hear Paul pray that you would get the hope of his calling? That's the certain expectation of what, when the Lord saves you, what he wants to accomplish through your life. So he starts with Simon. That's how we all start till we're born again. And then he adds Peter. But unfortunately, you don't lose that old nature until you die or go to be with Jesus. But don't feed that old nature. Feed the new nature. And that will make you grow and not be low, right? We're reminded of that. Sometimes people are playing hooky from church. I was in Walmart today after church, soul winning, and I saw some people in there, members of the church, and they weren't there for whatever reason. But I'm just saying, don't be low because you're feeding the old nature. And the good, a lot of times, you got good reason to miss out on the best. Choose the things that are the best. And so we're talking about how you can grow and not be low by being introduced to the Apostle Peter and the blessings he commends. Now, there's another two here. Not only Simon Peter, but look what it says. A servant and an apostle, he calls himself of Jesus Christ. Now, you would think he would start out with apostle, but he doesn't. You know, that is his great position. You know, an apostle, there's only 12 apostles. Judas was an apostate, and he was never saved. He didn't lose his salvation. He never had it. And Judas went to hell because he wasn't really an apostle. He was an apostate. Although the Lord chose him. The Lord chose him. But Judas, you see, was replaced by the Apostle Paul. And Peter could have started out and said, I am an apostle. But no, he starts out by saying, I am a servant. Peter, a servant. And then apostle. And you know what? When I got saved and I became a member of this church, I was just a servant. And guess what? I'm a pastor, the senior pastor, but I'm still a servant. That's first and foremost. I'm here to serve in whatever way God wants me to serve. And I used to do all kinds of things. People needed a ride. They need this. They need that. I was there. I was there. I was there. I was there. The pastor could count on me. He could always count on me. That's why when he left, he knew I was a servant. He said, this man will serve. And I want to serve him. I heard Jack Howell say one time, he said, listen to me, the great churches that are in the United States, the great Independent Fundamental Baptist churches are not men that are great preachers, necessarily. They're not necessarily. Now, that's all right if they are. I'm not going to hold it against them. They're not necessarily great preachers or great pulpiteers. I don't think Jeff Fugate's a great pulpiteer. Now, he speaks all over, but he said they're great servants. They're great servants. And I don't do all the things I used to do to serve, because if I did, I wouldn't be doing the main thing I'm supposed to be doing for you. So I have to make sure I don't get pulled away. I have people try to pull me away, take my time, do this, do that. I can't allow it because of you. Because I have to have the goods. And I have to be set aside. And deacons were raised up in part to help free the man of God up to pray and preach and teach the Bible. Because if you don't get the Bible and you don't get healthy meals, you are going to be weak spiritually. And you're going to be more Simon than Peter. So it starts out with being a servant. And even leaders are servant leaders. And they have to have a servant's heart and do what God wants them to do. A deacon is a servant servant. The word deacon means servant. And so a deacon is a servant servant that helps free up the man of God. And you know, there are, I tell people, you know what the greatest ability is for a believer? I call it availability. They're available. Do you need somebody to do this? Yeah, they're available. I had Brother Joe. Very few times can I count in all the many years. I've been a pastor now. I'm going into my 47th year as being a senior pastor. Very few times have I had it where Brother Joe has said to me, "No, I can't do that. I won't do that. I can't." You know, it just doesn't happen. He has been available, available, and that is greatness. You say greatness by being available? Yeah, because what did Jesus say? He said, "The greatest among you shall be the what? Servant of all." The greatest among you. And so servant is what he says first. And then he says apostle. And that is the proper order. And so you're introduced to him in two ways. Then you're introduced to the value of the faith that he has in common with you. And that's how to grow, to realize the value of faith. Let's look at this. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, to them, he's writing, tell about himself, now he's those he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior. Now, I was interested in that word obtained. How did you obtain this faith? He says, you have obtained faith. I have this faith. You have this faith. He's talking to the people that he's writing to who are believers, who are saved people. How did you get this faith? He says, you've obtained it. Now, I, instead of going to a Webster's 1828 dictionary to look up that word, I went to my concordance because I wanted to see how that word was used in the Greek language, how many times it was used. I only found this is the only place, and there's one other place where it's used, Acts 1:17. And you say, what's that? It's Peter talking there in a business meeting, and he's talking about those that obtained the ministry of apostleship. Well, how did these guys obtain apostleship? Let me tell you, they obtained apostleship. Jesus put it this way. He says, haven't I chosen you, you 12? And one of you is a what? A devil. He said, one of you is a devil. And one of you is, no, but one of you is a devil. But that's not my point. My point is they got to be apostles, including Judas, by Jesus choosing him. Jesus chose Judas, and he knew he was a devil, but he chose him. He chose the other apostles to be apostles. And that is the same word obtained here, that they obtained their apostleship. In other words, how did you come to get faith? You say, I got faith because I heard the word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you're right. That's true. But not everybody that hears the word of God obtains the kind of faith that Peter had, which is saving faith. In fact, Judas himself did. He obtained apostleship. But so how do you get this faith? Well, you are chosen to have it. God gives it to you. God gives it to you freely by his grace. Now, I want to show you this because this is an amazing thing here that he says that he gives this to you, and I want you to see it. Look at verse 1. Through what? One of the men tell me, how does he freely give you the faith to believe the gospel? Listen to me. God gives you the faith to believe the gospel. Jesus put it this way. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom the Father sent. It's a work of God. So how does he give you that faith? Through what, Brother Matthew McWhorter? Matthew Tyler?
Impute and impart his own righteousness.
Yeah, it's through, notice verse 1, it says it right there in verse 1. You can read it right in your Bible to make sure I'm preaching from the King James Bible and it's not my word, it's God's word. It says you've obtained, like precious faith, and we explained obtain, with us through the righteousness of God our Savior, Jesus Christ. You get faith through the righteousness of God, our Savior. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means that God knew that you had many, many sins when he looked ahead and looked at your life. And one of those sins that would send you to hell is the sin of what? Unbelief. You were naturally a person that would not believe God. And God sent Christ to die for all of your sins, including your unbelief. And God sent Christ to live a perfect life and be completely righteous. And then God gave you, through that righteousness of him paying for all your sins, including unbelief, and living a perfect life, then God, listen, through that righteousness that Christ provided 2,000 years ago when he died, he gave you the faith to believe in him. And that is how you obtained or were given freely the faith to get righteousness through the righteousness that he provided for you. And so that thing is a free gift of God. And what we're seeing here, how you can grow and not be low, I'll tell you how you can grow and not be low. Stop taking credit for things. I'm sick and tired of you taking credit for things. And if I'm sick and tired of it, God's sick and tired of it. And God's tired of me doing it. I told you. I don't know if I told you here, but one year I was out on the ice. I have glare ice up at my house sometimes. Just the whole driveway's like a sheet of ice. It's crazy. Not now. There's just a little bit. And I fell right down. I went, bang. This was just a few years ago. And I got up and I went like this. I said, man, I feel good. I feel good. And then I said to myself, is this not great Babylon that I have been? No, I said to myself, I said, man, I'm really something. You know, I fell flat on my keister and I got up and I'm not even hurt. I must be in good shape. And bang, I went right down again. Just weird. Just bang. And I was hurt for a year. Just for a year, I was like, before I healed up. And I got the idea, Lord, it's you. So if I say I'm healthy for my age, give him the glory. And, you know, if you're saved, you're not smarter than somebody else, and that's why you believe. No, you've obtained that faith. And the righteousness was provided for you 2,000 years ago when Jesus said it's finished. And he gives it to you. So you are saved by grace through faith. Not by your faith. You're saved by God's undeserved grace. Give him the glory. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. For God. Amen. All goes to God. And so you are then introduced. We got another two here. Two blessings that we get that Peter mentions. I want you to look at verse 2. Let's move on to verse 2. We got to get this done. We're not going to get this sermon done tonight, but we'll get the beginning of it. So we are going to do a series. Number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And so you are introduced to two blessings. And what are the two blessings that Peter is saying that you need? By the way, in 2025, you still need these two blessings. You've got to have these two to grow and not be low. Okay, Kyle, yell them out.
Grace and peace.
Amen. Grace and peace. And you say, well, I'm saved by grace. I already got grace. I got saved by grace. You said that. Yeah, but this time it's talking not about the grace that saved you. It's talking about the grace, which means the divine help to live this Christian life. You cannot live this life without God's grace, without His enabling help. You cannot serve God without His enabling help. And Peter is now saying to these believers, you need that grace. And when you get that grace, that enabling grace, and by the way, I got some enabling grace today, amen? But I can't live tonight on this morning's grace. So I got me some more of it. You say, where'd you get it from? God and Jesus. Who Jesus is God, amen? I get it through Jesus from the Father. So I get it from Him. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You got saved by grace through faith. Well, walk with Him that way. Go to Him by faith. He'll give you the grace you need. He'll give you whatever you need to live this Christian life. I can't live this life. I can't live it. But God give me the grace to live it. And I've got to go to Him fresh every day. I mentioned my daughter when she was up. She's grinding wheat every day. And all those nutritions that are slipped out of your bread, they put maybe 4 vitamins back in, but they leave out multiple vitamins. So she got herself a mill, and it's electronic, and she grinds bread every day and bakes fresh bread every day. And her family's getting healthy from eating that stuff. It's better bread than what we got. It reminds me of the King James Bible, you know. But I'm just saying, you need fresh grace every day. And that's what the apostle's saying. If you're going to grow and not be low in grace, you got to get it every day. And then he says peace. Well, what's peace? It's what a lot of people lack today, even Christians. Every Christian has peace with God. That means that we're reconciled to God. He's not our enemy anymore. Through Jesus, we're not at war with God. We're at peace. But that doesn't mean you have the peace of God inside. Many Christians don't. They don't have the peace of God inside, and they're full of worry and care. And listen, when I have grace from God, it leads to peace inside. And it leads to peace with other people, too. Because I can have peace with other people. Now, sometimes people might fight against what I'm doing, but God is stronger than them, right? And even believers. And so peace helps you make peace with other people. Now, you don't make peace at the expense of righteousness. You have to win the war to have peace. If you want to have peace with an enemy, you win the war. If somebody's going against God, Pastor Ware used to do this all the time. If I said something against God, he'd hit me. He said, that's trash. Stop talking trash. And I'd have to go, I'm making peace with him. He's right. He's right. I'm wrong. And I'm saying grace leads to peace in your heart, peace with other people, because you win the war of righteousness. And so when you have grace, God helps you to walk in righteousness, and you have peace, and it can be seen. You're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for God. And that is the way that you grow in grace. And I want you to notice, when we look at grace and peace, notice that it says, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What does that mean, multiply? You need a lot of grace. You say, what's a lot of grace? Revival. Revival. People talk about revival. Revival is just a work of God that takes a subnormal Christian in church and brings them back to normal New Testament Christianity. Which, if you read the book of Acts, they were winning souls, man. They were doing it every day. Read Acts 5. Daily in the temple and house to house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. They were getting people saved, man, and getting them baptized, and it was exciting. And that comes from God's enabling grace. But listen, it comes from a lot of grace. You know, when I'm messing up and not living the Christian life, and I'm not hitting on all cylinders, you know what I say to myself? I'm low in grace. I'm low in grace. God's enabling grace. And what do? I get more of it. And how do you get more of it? It's through, it says, notice this right here. It says right here, through the righteousness of God, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know how you can get more grace? Get to know Jesus Christ better. Don't get to know everybody on social media and what they're doing. Oh, I got to check this out and that out. No, this, that's not real.
Right.
That's not real. I mean, if you're doing some stuff with your family and your friends and look at that, but it's not real. It's not the real world. I talk to people that are on social media. I talk to them personally. And it's a whole different story when they're talking to me. When they're on social media, it's everything is great. You know, like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Aren't I beautiful? Isn't everything wonderful? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And they're talking to me. It's like, Pastor, help me out. I'm like, I didn't see that in your social media. That's why I don't get on that social media very much. I get talking to people face to face. That's what I want. That's what I want. I come from that generation, too, and it was better. But anyway, and there are benefits, I know, but there's some downside to it. You need to get off of Facebook all the time and get your face in this book. Face it. And you get to know Jesus Christ if you get in this book and you pray, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me something. I need something from this book. And I need to see Jesus in this book. He's all over this book. He's all over it. But if you just read it as, you know, words and facts and Bible facts and all, it's dry as dust, as dry as Ezekiel's bones. But if you read it and you see the bones coming together, and all of a sudden Jesus appears, and there he is! And you're like, wow! And through the knowledge of Jesus, God will give you his enabling grace. And you'll love him. And if you love him, you can go through a lot and it won't bother you. By the way, we're preaching on marriage. There needs to be real love in marriage. Real love in marriage. And who's the one responsible in marriage for that love? The husband. He gets it from him. But he's the one. The wife responds to love. But the husband is the lover. And the husband needs to love her, not as a puppy dog, you know, like, I'll follow you. No, you need to love her sanctifyingly so that you are an example to her of Christ. And so I'm just saying that this thing needs to be multiplied so that you're not low, but you can grow. And there's so much more to say, but we're out of time tonight. And I just finished one point, how you can grow and not be low by your being introduced to the Apostle Peter and the blessings he commends. The next point is by your knowing what our God and Savior have freely given you. Well, we did do that, didn't we? So I did do point two. And then we have three and four. But we're going to stop here tonight. And I want to just challenge you that why don't you read 2 Peter? Let's do a series on 2 Peter on Sunday night. And let's look at this book, and it will show you how you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All right, let's bow for prayer. I'm going to ask every head be bowed and every eye be closed. I want